about to say, do you want me to write all this out?
Or? Yeah, it's recording. Well, I'll probably record it and, like, we can ask questions and put a little summary, but just in case we want to listen to it later.
Nice.
Go back to it.
I like the way you think.
I'll pull up our questions here.
You guys can keep setting up, but let me...
Yeah, go ahead. Whatever you want to open with.
Well, I won't open with my plans, but let me tell you how I can support you guys. As Kyle told me what you were looking for, he sent me questions, mm-hmm. and I certainly can answer questions. Mm-hmm. I followed up with what's the objective of this project, and wanted to ask you guys, from your perspective, each one of you, if you could share, what's the objective so I make sure I support you in that objective? In your own words, what's your understanding? Just to answer questions, or you're going to write
it's
a paper?
Essentially, like, yeah, we're going to write about a 10-page paper that kind of, like, outlines our experience, like, meeting someone in the IT realm.
Okay.
And, like, what comes with a job in information technologies. And,
you know. That's okay. What I got out of it. I was looking through the, like, assignment on Canvas, though, and didn't really see an exact...
Yeah.
It seems pretty open to interpretation, honestly. So.
You can interview anyone within IT, so that can have a lot of different bases.
Anything more to add?
So I guess we're just going.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's where I wanted to use a time, but I don't want to direct this. You guys direct it, but here's where I can support you.
Mm-hmm.
I have 33 years in information technology. I have a dual degree, computer science and finance.
Nice.
And prior to Santander Consumer USA, recent job, which obviously brings in my finance background, all the other companies and my consulting work has been retail, oil and gas, and other financial industries. But all to say, I'm a heavy IT person,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not going to go deep on mm-hmm. you guys. I'm aware of that. But what I would like to do is, in this opportunity, so keep in mind I've got Kyle here, mm-hmm. and not only has mom been doing this for 33 years, but I'm going to keep it high level, but I want to share what you guys should know
mm-hmm.
and expect mm-hmm. from IT, right? So
okay.
it's not only going to benefit you for your paper, but in general. Now, yeah. also, I can talk about SC, Santander Consumer mm-hmm. SC. But looking at the questions, some of these are, I'll tell you what I took away from the questions. In summary, yes, you're going to ask them to learn about IT, but it throws in some questions about were there any problems and what did you do to solve them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can certainly share some of that with SC, but also I need to say some of that is private, confidential, so I can't go there. But more generally, and that's where I'm going to, I'd like to lead the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk about generally what any business you ever work for, any industry you ever work for, and you guys know every business has a technology group, whether it's one or 10,000. And in fact, it's 2018.
Mm-hmm.
We are technology-driven organizations.
Absolutely.
So you guys in finance, whatever your future jobs are, I'd rather provide you a more general rather than just SC. A more general awareness of what happens in IT. I know you've been through the class, but let me give you another perspective or my experience and relate it to what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can, by the way, when you're done with this hour, I hope you can write anything you want, not just about Lori Myers, but really just about, more importantly, about how technology is beneficial to industry, but also what you need to keep your eye on when you manage a finance organization and you need technology to support you. What are those things mm-hmm. that you need to be asking? So
mm-hmm.
I'd rather make it that kind of conversation. Is that all right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lead the way. I feel like, yeah, the questions were just really more leading the way and to really whatever we end up talking about, because we could obviously go on for hours about the details and general stuff, but yeah.
Very good. So I even I told Kyle
yeah,
I killed half a tree, but I've got these electronically.
Okay.
But I'd like to, and you can share this with your friends. This is your takeaway. You set up to six and whatever. This is your my leave behind with you, my takeaway. So let's just flip through it. Let's start at page one. Let me do a little bit deeper dive on me because you're interviewing me. Mm-hmm. So here you can pick up any little words. You can make your own report now. Okay. So again, I've got it electronically, but let me just talk to it today. So been working 33 years, and I've been an independent consultant for the past 10 years in an area called governance, risk, compliance. They also call that GRC, audit and project management. So all those IT specific. The next bullet, I've got experience in all IT end-to-end processes, and that means project management, security, change management. So I want to talk about processes because mm-hmm. IT has repeatable processes, and I'll go deeper in that, but I've seen it all.
Absolutely.
And I've aligned and developed, third bullet, the people, processes, and systems to efficiently and effectively deliver value to my business. So that third bullet is key to what I do day in and day out. Efficiently and effectively is an awesome word to say, how can I help companies do it better, cheaper, faster? And the fourth bullet, I've got big four, Deloitte and Touche experience. So, and I, at Deloitte and Touche, I was appointed by national partners to help roll out IT governance and risk assessment programs. And the last bullet, a lot of corporate internal experience as internal audit. At the bottom, so I've got a bachelor's in computer science and bachelor's in finance at Northern Illinois. So if you hear an accent, that's where I'm from. I'm certified information systems auditor. That's what CISA stands for. And I'm a project management professional, PMP. Those are two certifications. And then on the right, so this is what I use. I actually print out my PowerPoint when I go sell my consulting services. So I've worked with a lot of big companies, Santander at the top, but GameStop, I'm going to go through it. Children's Medical Center, so hospital. Frito-Lay, Pier 1, Pepsi, Radio Shack, McDonald's. So you see, I've seen a lot of IT shops. I just call that a huge blessing that I get to see inside IT companies. So next page, I'm going to ask you guys. Sure.
What does it look like when you go to one of these companies and like offer your consulting services? Like, are you asking them or offering like an easier way for them to use technology within the workspace? Or?
It's a good question in the sense I'll answer it this way. I don't start talking until I listen.
Mm-hmm.
I got to find out what their problem areas are.
Gotcha.
So I'm doing networking and it takes time to develop that relationship for them to share their problem areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then I package a solution, and I've got it in a PowerPoint just like this.
Awesome.
That's the cover page, and it follows with my my methodology to solve that problem.
Right.
Sometimes they hire me.
Well, clearly, some of these companies are definitely good.
So the next page, I printed off Santander Consumer USA. So always making sure we talk about Santander Consumer since you're here. You guys, the best place, and I didn't learn this till late in life. You guys know this in finance, but everything about IT should support a business. And the 10K, and this is the 2015 on the front and 2017 on the back. And the reason I did that is they said all these same things in 2015 and 2017, but I found it interesting what they added in 2017. You guys know. So in the 10K, they have to disclose technology risks. So any company you guys ever research, pull up their 10K. It's public information. So what I'm sharing with you is this is what I can talk about,
yes.
Right? It's publicly disclosed information. And now, when they talk about technology risks, when they write it up, it could scare the heck out of you. And every company has disclosures, a 10K, every public company, a disclosure of their technology risks. And these are very similar statements. But what they have to do is disclose risks in their company, that specific company. But let me clarify, it doesn't mean they actually have these problems. So I will share with you, I can personally tell you where they have major holes. I'm not going to tell you, but I'm saying I could, since I work there, I know which one of these are huge problem areas, and they are fixing them. They have projects underway to fix them, which means it's a huge hole. Just keep that in mind with any company. There's huge holes. Or they've fixed the hole. It's not a risk, but nothing's 100%, and it could blow up on them. So they have to write and disclose it so that they don't get sued by their investors.
Yeah. And Santander is a local Dallas area auto finance company.
Yeah, sure.
It's right down the road.
Perfect. So let me join you in that. I wrote down my notes. So Santander Consumer became a public company in 2014.
Founded by SMU grads.
Right.
Founded by an SMU grad, which is really, really cool. They were private from 1995 to 2014.
Now they're public.
Yeah. They were public in 2014, and now we're into 2018. So the key thing in being aware of that is public companies have to comply with laws, rules, and regulations. Mm-hmm. And in technology, as in anything, there's a lot. Mm-hmm. And so that's a lot of the recent work, recent years.
So when they're private, they didn't have to comply with those?
You're exactly right.
Ooh. So that must have been fun going public.
Were you with the company when they moved from private to public?
No, I wish I were. no, some people got buyout plans and they're rich.
Wow.
No, I came in afterwards in 2016. Gotcha. So I was there 2016 to now, and I will share this little secret, read between the lines. Companies should become compliant before they before they go public. Because
mm-hmm.
think of being an investor day two. Mm-hmm. You're now public, you invested in their stock.
Exactly.
You don't want a breach, a cybersecurity breach, or any mm-hmm. issues to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on some of those things recently. So just leave that read between the lines.
Yeah,
but that's what I do, is I can help public companies prior to going public get in compliance with laws and regulations. And it's really protecting our private data, your home address, your
exactly.
You know, all the
yeah.
personal information, parents' number. In the hospital, it was the diagnoses. You could, that had to be protected.
Like,
and even that they're a celebrity, that had to be protected and majorly secured. So there's lots of technology training as well as human training to say you can't tell, you know, your friends at your family at the kitchen table who's in our hospital right now.
Of course.
All that training goes on. Let's see, 6,000 associates, full service technology driven. They even have this full service. They have this in their financial statements. Full service technology driven company, focused on vehicle financing. So that's all they do is auto loans. But this SMU guy came up with Tom Dundon is his name, and he's still in the area and he owns other businesses.
He owns Trinity Forest Golf Course now.
Nice.
He built that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I never knew all this. I just worked for a random
company.
Hopefully
we get to play there one day.
Yeah, but
he
came up with this concept of financing. And here
it's basically
he is
subprime auto loans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which subprime kind of, the finance person kind of, bad word,
exactly.
Just due to the housing market, but more in the car market, it's actually obviously done extremely well, just giving loans to people who otherwise wouldn't be able to have cars, right?
Right, and their biggest computer program is a model that tries to determine, you know, the risk, you know, worthiness of those individuals.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a major, major program that they wrote back in 1995.
Yeah, there must be a lot of different.
Yeah, I bet.
It's highly audited, highly complex.
It has to be extensive to really value.
Yes.
And find out what rates you're going to give these people that
and
you
it's
actually
all,
be able to turn a profit. Yeah.
It's primarily technology driven because you can go on there yourself and get a loan. Or what they're working significantly through is the dealers. And even more so, Chrysler.
He
met the chief operating officer of Santander Consumers' Chrysler relationship.
Does Santander go into a company like Chrysler, and basically when a customer goes to buy a car, like, it's linked, like, directly through, like, they're like,
yes,
we have this available.
That's we're actually working on it right now. Yeah, they go on the website, so the dealer can go on the website, but they're trying to set up specific features and functions that are unique to Chrysler. They're trying to keep that relationship.
Yeah,
so that's a customer.
Yeah.
It's a tricky relationship.
The customer that brings sounds more customer.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. I interviewed, we interviewed a few executives there for BLI. We have a project in there, too, so got to meet him.
Oh, you got all the resources.
It's been very convenient this year.
Yeah.
It's been very convenient.
Very convenient. Well, right here, too, in Texas, you know, family. I'm glad to help. So, they've got locations in Texas, Colorado, Arizona, okay, so in the U.S., and that about covers it. Let me read this word out loud for your recording. The company's primary business is the indirect origination and securitization of retail installment contracts through manufacturer franchised dealers in connection with their sale of new and used vehicles to retail customers. That's a beginning to end. So, let me quickly go through this, and then we can follow up with those questions, Kyle. So this next colorful page shows you how IT, this is the best one-page summary of how IT fits in an organization.
Sorry,
no problem. So I'm in IT, and I'm at this bottom two layers, and I'm working with the application and the infrastructure. And have you guys learned what those terms mean?
To an extent.
What's the application mean?
Close.
Let's go to the next page. Let's use these two pages side by side.
Okay.
I love this. And by the way, I, in my consulting, came up with this. I think a picture is worth 1,000 words, so I hope it helps you guys. Everything in red is what IT manages. So application is what each of these business processes, so payroll, you know, decisioning, origination, servicing, let's look at payroll or operations. So they each business function within an organization. So see how this is generic? This is not SC specific. This is generic. Everybody has business processes.
Absolutely.
And they are using an application. And some of them can be using the same application. Even better, because it saves money if multiple departments are using one application. That's how you get efficiency and effectiveness.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm driving them towards. But that's why you got multiple lines. And it's supporting a product or a service or a customer. So that's where the business is busy at the top half. That's you guys. But beneath the water is IT running the application, which is in-house developed. So it's a specialty proprietary program like SCs, that program. Nobody else has one like that modeling program. Mm-hmm.
So that'd be the modeling program that, Santander uses that they made themselves.
Yeah,
okay.
But you've got to hire programmers, .NET, to maintain that and to have that expertise. Or it could be an off-the-shelf OTS program like SAP, which is a major enterprise-wide, very expensive accounting system, and people do that. Smaller companies might be using Excel. Anyway, that's an application. And then beneath that is a database. So an application is not necessarily, in all cases, storing the database. Sometimes they're together, more often they're separate. But I will tell you this, it takes different expertise to manage the data versus managing the application. And the same with the operating system and the network. So I'm not gonna go any deeper than that, but tell you, this is what IT people look at, is these snazzy new technologies to program and learn. But what I'm gonna cover is this bottom sentence for you guys to be aware of. You don't need to be ever experts on a technology. Even I don't need to be an expert on a technology, and I'm in IT. I have to be able to learn new technology quickly and just conceptually get the logic and the purpose and the intent. What I work on is common IT processes are applied to all these components. So infrastructure is the database, operating system, and network. It's everything separate from the application. So I was trying to tell you, back to this, is applications and infrastructure are supported by IT, but the same picture as this. It's supporting a business operation and the finance of the company. But what I like on the left-hand side is you guys, you know, sample measures. What is your performance at the business level measured on?
Okay.
Revenue growth, return on assets, revenue per employee. You're trying to be productive in your finance department.
Absolutely.
Or if you're in operations, you know, time to bring it to market, sales from that new product. But we in IT, we're looking at the new application. How fast can we implement it? How much does it cost? And then get even lower, making that available. You guys know that computers break down. So that's the infrastructure. The server, as I showed you on this picture, the network and the operating system is where the servers, the hardware is. There's just tons of hardware and software, and it changes, by the way. This is where I personally say IT is more complex than finance. But I can say that since I got both degrees. This is the complexity of an IT person's life, is that technology changes rapidly in your generation versus mine.
Mm-hmm.
And notice I had the word MF in the middle, mainframe. So I grew up with massive mainframes, and now we've got Windows and Unix and the web and .NET. So next page. This is simply to show you that all these common processes get applied across the platforms, all the infrastructure. And that's where, this is what I do. It's hard to understand my purpose here, but I'm trying to get to a common IT process. Let me drill down in IT processes, because this is my purpose of this conversation, not to get into technology, but to get into what IT does. So look at this next page, process maturity framework. Again, this is what I do, and that is several of your questions in the group assignment say, when something breaks down, what did SC do and how did they fix it? Well, this is another way to look at it with SC, but also any company, meaning, and this is what I do. I come into a company, as you ask me the question, how do I come in? I try to find out where things are breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
I read their 10K, I read their risks, I read the news about that company. I'm asking my network of colleagues, and something broke down. They weren't responsive to an outage, and it took them a week, or there's massive employee turnover, or any issue. And I go in and say, look at figure 13. Are there processes non-existent? So I'm just going to quickly read the header. Initial ad hoc, which means chaos. repeatable but intuitive. That means people have been around for 5 years and they know what to do, but nobody wrote it down. Number three is defined process, and that means read further. Procedures have been standardized and documented. IT folks are terrible at documenting. They're great at programming. And guess what a very simple thing is? If you haven't documented it, it's not repeatable. You get a brand new employee, how do they learn? Mm-hmm. Like if you go to work at McDonald's, you're going to go through training. They're going to have documentation. They're going to be monitoring you. It's very, I mean, that's my best job that I ever worked for, to see their processes are so fine-tuned. They are optimized. But they had to be optimized in order to multiply. I'm not saying McDonald's is great food, but anyway, great company. They had to be optimized in order to grow.
I mean, they provide the exact same experience across the country.
Exact same experience across the country, and it's because of this. And the same thing applies to your finance as well as to IT.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to tell you guys, you're really looking for repeatable processes, not just the technology, but what are you doing to manage my projects the same way, to manage my servers the same way? And on the back side shows you the as-is and to-be, and I put together a roadmap. I say, this is where you're at today. This is where you want to be. This is how long it'll take and how much it'll cost for me to consult to help you get there. And the value add, the ROI.
That's awesome.
And then the next page, now this is the meat of the matter. I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to leave it behind. But let's just, this is four pages. And the reason I gave this to you guys is these are all the IT processes. Look at how extensive it is.
Yeah, wow.
I walked into my company and back to chaos. Let me just say chaos and ad hoc. which is really, let's show up today and do something. There's a problem, let's solve it. But everybody can solve a problem a different way and maybe not the right way. Here is an authoritative source. It's called COBIT, and I do drill down into that, but I'm not going to touch on or go any deeper on COBIT. COBIT stands for Control Objectives for IT, and it's really telling you all the processes that exist within IT. It's an international standard. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to make this up, and I've been following COBIT for 30 years.
Yeah.
And I like to hand it to you guys and hand it to any business person. So let me read. So define a strategic IT plan. Just like business needs a strategic plan, IT needs to align with that strategic plan. I can't tell you how many companies the IT department doesn't do that.
It's
very immature. Define the information architecture. So again, you can read this offline, but that's telling you there's an organization that focuses, we want a standard architecture. Again, avoiding ad hoc. Mm-hmm. We want the same technology so it's repeatable. Let me show you, so manage IT resources. Let me show you the next page. I'm not going to go through all of them. Page 2, manage quality, assess and manage IT risk, manage projects. So I mentioned that. You guys are aware that IT, of course, does project management over new technology. Mm-hmm. There's authoritative sources and processes and controls that help do that effectively. You don't want to hire somebody off the street. There's a certification, I said PMP, my project management professional. And then page 3 is full packed with security. I mean, this whole page is practically security, info security. You guys hear about cybersecurity, but because of the identity theft, because of data privacy and technology rapidly changing, in my opinion, I'll say it this way, technology is changing so rapidly that security departments aren't able to keep up. And that's so wrong. IT is trying to keep up with the fast pace of business and the risks that exist and and some of it is just unknown. I just call it ignorance. But you guys are aware now that you asked your info security groups about these different areas of security, which is identity management, user account management, and so on and so forth. So that's offline to help you get to sleep. And then next is, I just Googled this, and I do this every year. Is this the next? Yeah. I Googled top 10 IT risks, and it's updated every single year. Again, technology changes. You can just write your whole paper on just this thing. But I found it very fascinating. Protiviti, by the way, and this was really cool, and North Carolina State University,
nice.
ERM, Enterprise Risk Management. I only got 11 of a larger document, but again, I can give any and all of this electronically to you, but I'm going to show you, turn to page 3 and 4 of this document.
Mm-hmm.
And
lots of risks.
A lot of them, aren't there? But look under operational risks. So you've got macroeconomic, strategic, and operational. Now, one thing to keep in mind, this is not technology specific. This is companies across the globe. Protiviti used to be Big Four. They were Arthur Andersen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Arthur Andersen used to be part of the Big Five, if you guys remember that. Because of a long story, they no longer exist. Arthur Andersen, one of the Big Five, actually got put lost their entire company.
Wow.
Because of corruption inside Arthur Andersen. And they're an auditing firm.
Enron,
WorldCom, yeah. Tons of stories. And Enron, these major partners were closing their eyes to bad data, bad reporting.
The auditing firm is corrupt. That's when you know stuff's not going
for you. Those were bad days. And that's where Sarbanes-Oxley came along, by the way, you guys.
We've
right
heard
after
about
that. Yeah. It came, they're all connected. So SOX, Sarbanes-Oxley. But the good people of Arthur Andersen, because I'm very impressed with Protiviti, the good people from Arthur Andersen, because it's a gigantic, it's worldwide, international company. they started Protivity. So I'm trying to tell you, really highly experienced people got out of financial statement attestation, which is, you know, the reviews, and they went into consulting. And Protivity is a really good company. I've worked with them locally. But all to say, they have this neat little business where they interview for top 10 risks. And so I'm just sharing, it's highly authoritative in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But under operational risk, you see uncertainty surrounding the viability of key suppliers. So I know one of your questions is outsourcing. Let me just tell you, it's never perfect. There's always problems. So I could have gone on this whole hour just about outsourcing problems.
Absolutely.
So when you're going to ask me these questions, where do I begin? And it's not just SC. Every single company. Because what's happening is that's the only way for a company to survive, let alone large companies. Let alone you really want to focus on your core competency. So outsourcing is typical. You don't want to bring in, or do services or hire employees. Even IT is heavily outsourced, right? Third party doing IT. And how do we fix a problem with outsourcing? I can answer that right here. There is something called SSAE 16, and it's a service provider attestation. These big four companies do an SSAE 16, so EY, Deloitte & Touche, PwC, these big four companies. They will go into companies and basically do an audit and provide that report to third parties. So what I'm telling you guys is, yes, there's outsourcing, but how you solve the problem, business or IT, no matter what it is, you get an SSAE 16 service provider attestation, and these big four companies will go in and audit, and then you read that report, and you say, this is broken, this is operating effectively, this is broken, and then you get to decide, do I want to do business with them?
Nice.
Yeah. Put those things side by side, do your due diligence, and that's an easy way. There's so much to share, but I can share about the third parties that way. The next one is risks from outsourcing. Next is attract and retain talent. Oh my gosh, you would think there'd be a ton of jobs available, but they're looking for top talent. They do say retain top talent because people are quitting. In fact, even at SC, they're being laid off and quitting, let alone a lot of places. I think it's normal for turnover to happen. And the next is ensuring privacy and identity management. So I won't go any further, but they do have inability, just to quickly reference, inability to utilize data analytics and big data. Do you see that one? To achieve market intelligence? Mm-hmm. You had a question about big data. So I'm kind of relating everything your teacher is prompting you is pretty much this article.
Okay.
And the point is they are risks, and how do we solve them? Mm-hmm. We have to implement processes. So here's a cut to the chase. There's risks in every company, and we have to implement processes to mitigate those risks. Mm-hmm. And if those processes break down, then we have to mature them. That's the as is and the to be.
Gotcha.
So you guys take this and run with it. And you can be a consultant as well. But that's as simple as it is there's a current state process. There's an inventory of processes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a current state of them. If it breaks down, improve it. And the last handout is very colorful. This is mine. Now this is back to technology. So I just showed you one that's about business in general for you guys, finance guys from Protivity.
Gotcha.
But this one is specific to IT. So I'm going back to the IT risks. And this explains to you COSO, COBIT, and risk assessments. We've got definitions here. I won't go through it all. And I do want to read page 40, though. This is my favorite phrase in all my career. When you feel like you're in an organization that's chaos, remember this conversation. Know that it's, and by the way, it's people, processes, and systems. People. processes, systems. Those are the three legs of a chair, three-legged chair. So the chaos could be any one of those areas. Really incompetent, unprepared people, untrained people. Or it could be technology. We don't have good systems. But I personally have found it to be processes. People will learn. Technology, you got to live with it, current state, no matter what. But processes, you can improve immediately. Mm-hmm. And this tone at the top is so good. The concept of tone at the top originated in audit firms, and it refers to financial controls. Now, second paragraph is all that fraud and bad stuff in Sarbanes-Oxley. But it's describing the corporate culture. I'm at page 4, describing the corporate culture. So tone at the top basically says, I'm not going to tell you what it says. Let me ask you, what does that mean to you? Tone at the top. I'm going to let all three of you guess.
What's the attitude of the leaders of the organization that trickles down to the rest?
Very good.
Yeah. That's about it.
Anything else?
Anything else? Yeah, I mean, kind of like when I hear tone at the top, I think of like the culture, I guess, of what's going on.
Or what their goal is. Yeah, what their goal would be to. Do they have profit, revenue above all else? Are they trying to accomplish something specific in their industry this year? Or?
Perfect. Now, let's keep going, because Kyle had the conversation with the SC folks about SC, and you just hit on something earlier. So what do you think Tom Dundon's, when he was private, tone at the top was in regards to processes and controls? Take a guess.
Growth above all else.
Growth above all else.
And then when you go public, of course.
Yeah.
Fix it later.
Yeah.
And fix it later. Yeah. And what do you think when you talk to Rich Morin or both of those guys? What's the culture, the tone at the top now?
It's more, say a lot more. Make sure it's run properly before we put it in practice.
Excellent.
You have to have better processes.
Yes.
To like the public realm.
And the reason I share, perfect, you guys, the reason I share COSO and tone from the top and all these principles, which is on the next page, and these processes, is tone from the top also means one more thing. You guys hit it, but let me share one more little perspective of it. If the leaders, and you guys know this, but let me say it very clearly, if the leaders aren't not only sharing it in their mission, vision, and values and their speeches, but that they're also walking the talk, right? They're also walking the hallways, and it's coming from the top down, it ain't going to happen. So simply said a whole nother way, I've walked into organizations, and I'm hired by the VP. Let's call that middle management. And they want me to improve their processes. But what's the first thing I'm going to do? I'm going to find the tone from the top. And I'm sharing with you another nugget that I learned after too many years of mistakes. Mm-hmm. The nugget is, if the top management isn't speaking it and talking it, my project is going to be thrown in the toilet. And it has.
Wow.
Literally has. My work has been thrown out so many times.
Like in the actual toilet or?
It has been thrown out so many times, and I hate that. Yeah, I hate not being affected. You know, I got paid, you know, plain, but no, that what a waste. I'm just sharing with you guys, if you walk into a chaotic, and even think about being, you know, lower level starting out employees. If you walk in and it's chaos, I mean, let's say don't walk in until you look at their 10K and see what their risks are. And also, in your interview, what's the tone from the top? Ask those interview questions. Do they want to fix processes and controls? Do they want quality? Do they want effectiveness? Or do they want growth and money? If all you're hearing is growth and money, you're going to be working with chaos. So you can choose to go work for growth and chaos, but I prefer the mature processes at the same time.
I think you've got me sold on going that right.
That was my plan. And so continuing on, let's look at page 7. I like this picture.
I unfortunately have a...
Go right ahead.
No, I have a phone interview at 2:30.
Yeah, it was about that before. Yeah. Ahead a little bit.
Got it. What time is it?
And so I have to get ready shortly, but I just, can I ask you a quick question?
Yes. Look at that page because it summarizes. That's all I wanted to say, and I was done.
And first of all, yeah, thank you very much for these documents.
Oh, of course.
Awesome. It's going to make our lives a lot easier.
Yeah, right, whatever you 100%.
Like.
100%. What would you say, like, the most difficult part of your job is, like, job-specific to where you are now?
Exactly what I said. I got hired, though, to mature the processes, mm-hmm. but the growth, the change management, the rapid change and growth and requirements from the stockholders.
It's a constant adjustment.
Yeah, it's just adapting to change at mm-hmm. the same time as you're trying to implement the right solution.
Gotcha.
So it's like a seesaw, quality and money. And you got to have a balance, you know, or a, you know, weight scale. You've got to invest in both. And to try to slow or influence management is where I say slow them down and say, yeah, but if you just waited a month, that's what IT is saying. If you just waited a month, we can implement these. And IT has a tough time articulating mm-hmm. this. If you just waited a month, we can get these controls, this functionality in place and make it this, you know, that much better.
Mm-hmm.
If the business would listen mm-hmm. instead of I've made a promise, you know, I've got to keep that date,
mm-hmm.
you know, having the flexibility to say, let's, you know, do it right and I'll give you that time.
Nice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And what's your best advice for you said it's managing change while implementing new stuff. How do you do that?
That's the best. I just learned that in the past. I've been working 33 years. I just learned that this year. I've got an answer for you. Is don't only spend time executing, which is your team and down or sideways. Invest at least 50% of your time managing up. And nobody does that well, including me.
Managing up.
Manage up 50% of your time. And I just talk, I'm serious. We all go in execute mode
mm-hmm.
and we deliver these great results, but mm-hmm. we're not telling management and getting them on board. That's change management is upward
okay.
because they've got, it's got to align with the business plan, and IT okay. fails at that all the time. We're just programming, this is really cool, and that's not even the functionality that was in the strategic plan. So actually, I'll repeat that, IT strategic plan, they hardly do it. That piece of work would align technology for the year to the business. That simple thing, and it's just I would say the hardest thing is IT people are very and too techie,
mm-hmm.
and I enjoy my job because I straddle the fence, and yeah, I think that is in high demand.
Yeah.
All right, I unfortunately.
Thanks for coming.
Go right ahead.
Good luck on your interview.
Yeah.
Absolute pleasure.
Yeah.
Appreciate
good luck on your interview. Yes.
And once you guys finish up, summarize it and get working on the paper from there.
Yeah, 100%.
Again, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for your interest. Right, if
we'll
you need
you
to go
later.
Or you want to say whatever you
well,
need.
Well, I have to go like 10 minutes or so, but
I think we'll probably only do more okay. like 10 more minutes. Thanks, man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Let me summarize
finish
this page
up.
For you, Kyle.
Okay.
So IT processes, I already talked about application information, infrastructure, and people. So that's where I was talking about. This is a really good summary of the people.
Yeah.
The processes and the systems. So all three of these, if you would circle just in your head right now, applications, information, and infrastructure is the systems area. You know what I should call it? People, processes, and platforms.
Yeah.
Somebody told me I should use the three Ps. Platforms is technology platform. So people, processes, and platforms, which is applications. Information is the data. So I'm just getting you beneath the, you know, the surface. This is everything IT does. And so people, processes, and platforms is what we need to do to run IT well.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to align with the business. This line right here, Kyle, this is just to tell you what your mama's moving into because of... Let me say it this way and don't repeat any of this. I am in a major political battle because I did my job I executed risk assessments, got processes identified and improved, but I executed. And this guy at this top level, this executive, didn't know anything I was doing and didn't see the results. And by the way, it takes time for the results to percolate upwards. Yeah. In other words, remember that beginning page, this. So I'm sitting here working on these things. And look at this, it even says dilution of IT impacts. This thing is such a good picture for, this is what I plan to do. How, this is my future, Kyle. I am so passionate about it because I failed to do it.
Yeah.
And here you guys are up here, but I'm even talking about, you know, the CEO, the CFO, the COO. They're all up here. And Lori's, you know, down here working. And I executed really well, you know. This is the line. I was working with my team.
Yeah.
But and I did massive overtime. Kyle knows that. I implemented lots of change down here, but they weren't seeing it, how it was affecting them. And my goal is actually this, to share what I learned from my mistakes, because this is actually a IT discipline, and it's called IT governance.
Mm-hmm.
That's the governance side of my ITGRC, IT governance, risk, and compliance.
Oh, yeah.
Is to align it with the business plan, align it with revenue growth. How did everything I just do here align with revenue growth? I can actually do this, but I didn't invest enough time in that, and that's my plan for the future. So back to here, it's just linking everything to everything's about this, and IT just keeps cranking out stuff, but nobody sees the value, and they don't communicate that value, and then they get frustrated, and then they quit the company. That's what's happening. There's a churn of IT people that don't know how to communicate what I just said.
Well, I never know that.
Nobody knows it. Yeah. By the way, what I just shared is like, it's been talked about in COBIT, it's been talked about in COSO, but no, the disconnect is really happening, and it's a niche, let me say that much, and you guys can fill that niche, this class can help you fill that niche, is your finance and your IT. I didn't want to just answer your question, but I wanted to say you have to understand what IT, how they add value, and there is a way to put a number of, you know, as I said, put this number to that number, but nobody spends the time, because back to what I shared in answering that question, growth is just, it's just, you show up the next day and it's chaos. The growth and the money making greed, that's my personal opinion, it overtakes the doing the right thing. And like, how did McDonald's decide to spend the time on quality? They had their eyes on international and said, you know what, we need repeatable processes. And we want the cost to come down and the time to come down. Well, the only way for the cost and the time to come down in implementation of a new project is a repeatable process. So I love my future. Go ahead. What's other questions?
I'd say my biggest question, just because it'll be something giant that we can spend a few pages writing about. Is there any, there's a bunch of questions on this, but either specific security-related incidents or IT falling apart or stuff that was public data that we can maybe research? Because you said we've talked a lot about the issues that whatever company may have. Do you have any examples of when the risk there did fail and it ended up in blowing up and you had to deal with that and piece it back together?
Yes, I'll do some research. SC has not had a public, I'm on purpose making the statement. SC has not had an event that required public notification.
Mm-hmm.
But the key word was that required public notification.
Yeah.
Has SC had an event?
Mm-hmm.
That's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But I can look up, so I answered that question for you for SE, so there's nothing to tell you about.
Yeah.
But I can give you lots of examples. What's a recent example of privacy? Credit cards getting data getting stolen or private information being stolen all over the place, or even at the hospital, you know, where, but I'll go Google, but you can as well, where,
I can think of a few off the top of my head.
Private information. Yeah. You just type in, it's happening every day.
Yeah.
So a recent one, you know, you just Google private,
Facebook, right?
Well, you can even just type data breach, put in data breach right now and you'll just get, a list. There isn't a data breach is the keyword.
Mm-hmm.
And
Under Armour, MyFitnessPal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. And Under Armour, 150 my oh, and MyFitness, that's just yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's there's 10, but it'll go on for years. The history is all there. Orbitz says possible data breach. Facebook data breach?
Yeah.
See? All this recently, and that's only in 1 week. It's our worst situation is, and how do we, I can tell you how you resolve it. You mature those IT processes.
Okay.
And yeah. So let me talk about one. And by the way, here's another key factoid. Most of the data breaches are by internal or ex-employees.
Okay.
Not by a random guy in their
hacker.
Basement.
Because, doing some hacking.
Because the internal employees know where the holes are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're waiting. And that now they're a disgruntled employee. They leave. And they know where the holes are. And then they go steal that data. And by the way, here's another thing about data breaches. When I said reportable. Reportable is only, there's actually a number, it'll be somewhere there, I don't have it off the, it might be 10 million records, but what about the 9,999 records?
Yeah.
You know, it'd be below the threshold.
So you're saying there's a threshold that they have to report.
Yes.
Is there, defining data breach, does that mean... If they say credit card data breach, does someone literally just have all those credit cards? Is it that simple? Like,
yes.
Really?
Yes. It is.
So, and they wouldn't necessarily, if it was under 10,000, they wouldn't even necessarily have to tell you.
Correct.
Oh.
Yes.
Hmm.
And.
Does that happen often? Smaller ones? Data breaches?
Significantly.
Really?
Yeah. It's happening. So, back to stolen identity. In my humble. In my humble opinion, the two biggest risks in technology are data protection, which we're talking about, and the rapid, they use the word disruptive technologies. So those two things, data protection, I'm going to describe each of them quickly. I think we just discussed data protection.
Mm-hmm.
Disruptive technologies is the massive changes in technology. So from an IT standpoint, you see Microsoft come out with a new release.
Mm.
That's a massive change. Or iPhones. I mean, they purposely design them these days. They didn't in my, you know, day out of school, but now they design them to become obsolete.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to buy. So they're focused on revenue, and that makes they're forcing rapid changes in technology. But the flip side of that is businesses who like SC. We developed a model for originations.
Yeah.
And what if somebody comes up with a better model? That's called disruptive technology, because all it is technology. It's not like my brother with a patent who created a physical thing. Those you're developing a product, you know, a new way to slice an egg.
Yeah.
In technology, it's happening much more rapidly. I mean, again, technology is so complex, it's turning over. So those two things, there's a new technology coming in, and then we in IT can't keep the pace fast enough to secure it.
Yeah.
So the best example is cloud, and you had cloud in there as well.
Yeah.
Cloud, if you guys know what that is, of course, it came out with very little controls, just like Facebook came out with very little controls. These disruptive technologies, these companies are not putting in configurable controls.
Yeah.
They're just, here it is. Oh my gosh, I can run my business better. And then you're like, so not only did Tom Dundon do it as a business. I'm saying just technology is rolling out without controls.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can't keep up
with it. It's like, here's a new technology. We don't know if it's secure, but it's pretty cool.
Well, exactly. And I can actually tell you that about SC. I think we're behind it now. But I worked at SC a year before I was a permanent employee, Kyle. So 2015, yeah. I was a contractor. 2016, I was an employee. In 2015, I actually did a consulting project on whether they should go into cloud at SC. And our recommendation was no, because it wasn't secure enough. And the business wanted to do it anyway. They wanted to accept the risk. And so I had to go talk to management and communicate the risk.
Like, yeah,
this is the risk of cloud. Well, now a year later, cloud is more secure. That exact company that I was writing about actually implemented those controls within a year. So all they had to do, that's an example of implement it now, accept the risk. But boy, people can steal your data.
Yeah.
Or wait a year, and that third-party service provider, because it was cloud, will have the controls in place. So that's what we're doing in IT, is monitoring or at least talking to those providers. Implement those controls, and we'd love to partner with you in the future.
Awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
Do you have any questions?
Yeah, I have a last question before I leave. So, so as far as I know, that the market for IT in China is way different than America. So, I mean, in America, does it have any policies to restrict in the industry such as IT to grow something? Or
no.
No?
No.
What do you mean restrict it from growing?
I think China
are those policies there?
Does China restrict new development?
Not really, but it has when the IT grows, like the data breach, we have strict policy for data breach, for protect people's privacy.
Oh, okay, that's what you're saying.
So, actually,
In
those kind of sections, if like internal people want to steal the information or exchange for money.
I think I understand your question. Yeah, mm-hmm. We've got laws. So let me share with you the privacy laws. You can just write the acronym down real quick, or it's recorded.
Okay.
GLBA is Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act. Mm-hmm. It's a law. And that's what every public company has to comply with. And that protects your personal information,
mm-hmm.
your home address, your family information. PCI, look it up. PCI is another law verify PCI compliance. Type in PCI compliance. I should have known this. PCI compliance. Yep.
I think that is it.
Yeah, they're using the acronym anywhere, but I want to spell it out for you. Payment card industry. Helps me.
Yeah, it's right here.
Okay. Oh, I should have looked at the right. Payment card industry, PCI, is another law that protects our credit card data.
Okay.
So those are the two primarily technology laws.
Mm-hmm. So it is illegal for people to, for company which is data breach?
Yeah, and you could, yes.
It is very illegal.
Yeah. It is very illegal. yes.
But it happens, very often. Right?
Well, what the company can do to, I love where you're going. Let me explain that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's keep going. When all those examples we just gave, when it happens, when it's reported, what happens is those lawmakers come into the company, they dissent, they show up, and they then ask the question, what are you doing, company, to make sure this doesn't happen again? And if they find out, now that they're uncovering all the details,
mm-hmm.
that you didn't have the controls in place, they will fine you and put the leaders in jail.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does that happen often, or do they usually get away with it?
Well, they usually get away with it, but here's why. They talk about, I have the perfect answer to that, they talk about the projects underway. In other words, mm-hmm. if the companies are aware of it, and they have projects underway to fix it. But to become compliant takes, I will personally tell you, 2 to 3 years.
To fix all this?
That complexity, that large chart I show you. So that chart I showed you, let me show it to you real quick. This one. There are literally 2,000 databases at SC. 2,000. There are, and so all this multiplies. And so what I'm trying to share with you is, it's another process. Remember I said information architecture is a an IT discipline?
Yeah.
Well, it was very immature at SC. So what that means is they just kept every new business department or function that would come in, they'd get a brand new database just for you. Oh, now we got 10 of them just for you. And so there's no rationalization and normalization to make it common and bring it together, which means we just ended up with 2,000 databases, and now what we're doing is we're repeating data. So somebody who has an account with us might have their address in this system, this database, their address in this database, and their address in this database. And by the way, they could all be different. So data integrity could become a problem, which is a whole different risk.
Yeah.
A bigger risk. So when you
And it takes so long because you have to go through those 2,000 databases one by one and fix and consolidate them.
Well, in my company, so the project to, so we can show our regulators what we're doing to fix all that, and we won't be fined. But then the regulators should be, if there's enough regulators, and then even there's not enough of them, to monitor that we keep our promise. That's where I think the U.S. fails. It's very complex because there are 2,000 databases, and there's lots of repeat data, disparate data, and we don't know what to protect. In actuality, you can't protect 2,000 databases. That's even not even cost effective. So what they're trying to do is find that credit card data, zing, 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 go there and protect it, and find the personal information, and they're just like, they're swimming. And that's just, that's a typical company. That's why I say it takes 2 to 3 years, I think, if that.
I thought it would be longer than 2 or 3 years. Just guessing.
If they stay focused, 2 and 3 years is actually what the regulators require as well.
That's a requirement.
Well, it's not a requirement by rule. I'm telling you the hidden. I've lived that as well. Even SC, the regulators have come in. I'm seeing the regulators and listening to them, so I've got firsthand experience of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And they're saying you aren't going fast enough. They don't. The regulators, as I said, they have to monitor it, have to make sure this gets implemented timely. I mean, and here's our company. We want to grow. Well, regulators, you got to control your data. We want to grow. And so that culture took a while to shift from Tom Dundon to this new management because the regulators had to come down on this.
Yeah, and then that's company time being spent fixing instead of growing.
Fixing instead of growing. And then here's your stockholder saying, what's the beef? I want, you know, my stock price to increase.
Yeah. Gotcha.
It's a fascinating story.
I think we've definitely got enough to write.
Isn't that overwhelming?
Yeah. Way too much for me to write.
So here's my recommendation, and you guys already figured it out. Pick one fun area. It might be, just something you all, what connected with you today? Let me help in one way. Out of everything I said today, and you each might have a different answer. Out of everything I said today, what one thing was the most interesting or fascinating? Just one thing.
I'd say either the processes or just how you're explaining identifying and sharing the value with IT to upper management in order to get that established. I'd say actually I'd change that. I'd say it would be what we were just talking about, which is
the
growth versus
security.
Yeah. Balance.
Yeah, me too.
I'd say
I feel very interested how you like how IT is very important for IT management, operational management. So
yeah,
how for IT person to contact the upper level with the practical IT.
And that's great. So I actually succeeded in my goal, but I definitely don't want to overwhelm you, which means focus on that and tell your story right now.
Yeah.
Why don't you write this paper from just talk.
Yeah.
Just flow with your thoughts. Yeah. I would recommend that be your paper.
I'd say, yeah, the discrepancy between upper level management
and how would you
and
manage
stockholders
that?
Who
yeah.
their incentive is we want, you know, every stockholder who is really running the company, they want growth. But yeah, then you do need this ground floor before you can just keep adding.
And by the way, to add to your paper, you could put a period right there and call your paper done. But let me tell you, here's what I'm trying to say. This is my constant battle. I've talked to many leaders, and they still don't get what's taking me so long.
Yeah.
What's taking you so long, Lori? I'm like, are you kidding me? All to say, you need to somehow say, it's complex. And why is it complex?
So we can use that to explain.
How do you tell a story of, I understand that it's really a lot of decision. Anyway, I leave it to you.
That's great. Thank you so much, Mom.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. So, and back to...